Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad.
This statement has not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
When it comes to my lifestyle and diet, I don't always make the smartest choices.
Touchdown! Woo! Hey, how about another round and some more chips?
But when it comes to taking care of my liver, I do make one very smart choice. Active Liver Tablets from New Nordic. I used to have real issues with my liver, and at my last checkup, my doc was concerned about my numbers. But since adding a once-a-day active liver tablet, my gut's better, I feel great, and my doctor's happy. I ask a lot of my liver, so the least I can do to say thanks is a daily dose of active liver.
You ask a lot of your liver, so give it the support it needs with active liver. You can find active liver at Amazon.com, or for a volume discount, visit NewNordicUSA.com. Go to New, NordicUSA.com, Amazon, or ask for active liver at your local CVS. New year, new you. New Nordic.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The White House says a U.S. response to the deadly drone attack on U.S. service members in Jordan could come at any time. National Security Council spokesperson John Kirby traveling on Air Force One today.
We're going to respond, and we're going to do it. Really, in a way, in a time of our own choosing.
The U.S. did not name the militant group, but the Hezbollah Brigade, based in Iraq, now says it is temporarily suspending operations against U.S. military personnel in Iraq. The House Homeland Security Committee holding a markup session today on articles of impeachment against Homeland Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Republicans accusing Mayorkas of failing to secure the U.S. border, allegations Mayorkas denies. The daughter of Chita Rivera announced the Broadway star died today after a brief illness. The groundbreaking Latina legend, best known for her roles in West Side Story, Chicago, and Kiss of the Spider Woman, earned 10 Tony nominations and 2 Tony wins. This is ABC News. The popularity of casinos gives some insight into the U.S. economy. Here's ABC's Jim Ryan.
The American Gaming Association says $16 billion was generated in the third quarter of 2023, the 11th straight quarter of annual revenue growth. That may reflect rising consumer confidence. Pew Research found last week that slightly more than a quarter of Americans rate economic conditions as excellent or good, a 9% increase from last April.
But those gains are not universal. Gaming is down in Colorado, Michigan, and Oklahoma. If you want to see the San Francisco 49ers and Kansas City Chiefs in this year's Super Bowl, you'll have to pay up. Tickets for this year's NFL championship game are the most expensive in history. According to SeatGeek and TickPick, prices range from $9,800 to over $12,000. That's 70% more expensive than the average ticket price for last year's game. Super Bowl 58 takes place in Las Vegas, February 11th. I'm Michelle Franz in ABC News.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With Venture X, earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges where you just check in and chill out. Open up a world of possibilities with Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Okay, everyone gather around. I have some exciting...
Running her shoe factory, Kendra talks the talk and walks the walk.
We're switching to green energy.
She needs a biotech consultant to erase her carbon footprint.
All operations will net zero emissions.
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed. Indeed you do.
You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, filling in for Ted Ayling. I'm Raymond Neupert. There's a coming effort to challenge President Joe Biden in the Wisconsin primary. Bob Haig has an update.
Minnesota Congressman Dean Phillips has filed a petition with the state Supreme Court. The Democrat wants to be included on the April 2nd presidential primary ballot. The court has directed the State Elections Commission and the Wisconsin Presidential Preference Selection Committee to respond by 4 o'clock Wednesday. The Elections Commission has no role in placing candidates on the ballot here. That's done by the Bipartisan Selection Committee, which met in the state capitol earlier this month and selected Biden as the sole Democrat on the ballot. In a statement, Phillips said that should be up to voters.
Governor Tony Evers has signed an executive order creating a task force to address challenges in the healthcare workforce. Evers says there is concerning projections in the future of healthcare workers in the state.
According to the Department of Workforce Development, Wisconsin faces a potential deficit of 20,000 nurses. 20,000 nurses by 2040. Between 2020 and 2030, Wisconsin's healthcare industry will see nearly 32,000 annual openings across occupations.
The governor's office says the task force will be identifying ways to improve patient care and recruit and retain nurses. Shep's Ice Cream in Madison is facing $145,000 in fines after being cited for exposing its workers to ammonia. That's part of a series of 12 serious citations from OSHA. Federal officials say the ice cream company also failed to properly train its workers on how to handle spills and failure to use lockout devices when working on machinery. In a statement, the company said that it takes safety very seriously and it will fully cooperate with OSHA's investigation. More news is next here on Wisconsin Radio Network.
You have work to do. You need a tractor that helps get it done. TYM is a full range of tractors designed to meet that task. With the TYM easy-to-use controls and features, switching from one job to another is easy. And with a full range of models from 24 horsepower to 105 horsepower turbo, there's a TYM tractor that's just right for the job and for you. Work smart, but you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers. Synergy Co-op, State Road 25, Ridgeland.
The clouds return today in our Real Country 1430 forecast. We'll have temperatures in the low 40s. Northwest winds at 5 to 15. Tonight cloudy, lows near 30. Tomorrow becoming sunny. Record warmth with highs in the low 50s. Thursday sunny, highs upper 40s. Be listening for Durand, Arkansas Boys High School basketball tonight. The Panthers at Elk Mound. The Advent Health Panther preview is at 7 o'clock. Tip off at 7:15. Here on Real Country 1430 AM and 107.3 FM WRDN and online at our website.
And we got a lot to get to on our program coming up here. We're going to talk swine health. We're going to have a conversation with Dr. Megan Niederwerter from the Swine Health Information Center later on in the show. They have released their 2024 plan of work. We're going to talk about what that is, what that means for the swine industry, their call for research projects, and get an update on various diseases impacting swine health around the world. We're going to talk to Dr. Niederwerter coming up here at segment three today. Before that, in segment two, we're going to get a look at the markets with Ted Seifert from Zahner Ag Hedge. He'll be joining us for a conversation, providing his perspective of what we're seeing as we near the end of the month of January. Also, later in the show, I'll have a look at news headlines to wrap things up here today, some of the ag headlines we're watching around the world. So, again, thank you for joining us on the program. First up, though, let's take a look at some of the top stories that have been impacting agriculture here the last few days. DTN's Todd Neely joins us here on AOA to kick off the show today. Todd, thanks so much for being with us on the program. Hope you're doing well.
Great. Yeah, thank you for having me on.
Well, Todd, let's start with the opening of this sustainable aviation fuel plant in Georgia. I know you were covering this last week for DTN, and really exciting stuff here with this plant. Supposedly the first ever plant for sustainable aviation fuel being built here in the U.S. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, you know, well, Jesse, I think, you know, when you think back on the history of agriculture, you know, one of the things, one of the time periods that we look at most often as to when things really seem to change for the industry in terms of price support and markets and that sort of thing was 2005 to 2007 when the renewable fuel standard came into being. You know, and as you know, there were a lot of ethanol plants that were built. I mean, it was just a real boom time, I would say, from about 2005 to 2010-ish. You know, since then, the ethanol industry itself kind of settled in. You know, there's just, you know, a lot of things that have changed. The industry itself's gotten more efficient. You know, policies have been up and down. The RFS itself has kind of been a battle, kind of a battlefront over the years. And so what sustainable aviation fuel represents is maybe a second chance in some respects for rural America when it comes to economic development and, you know, the promise that the biofuels had brought originally. And when you look at the plant that was opened down in Soperton, Georgia last week, it certainly fits the bill in that, you know, down the road, there's there's a real effort, you know, among the ag industry, the ethanol industry, to find ethanol's place in that future of SAF. And that future could be mostly using ethanol to make sustainable aviation fuel. And so it's kind of where things have gone. You know, it's been such an evolution with the RFS, and now we're at the point where we have another opportunity for rural America on SAF.
Well, and a couple things related to this as well. I know a story that broke on Monday that has some tie-ins here a little bit as well. I wanted to just mention, I know Summit Carbon Solutions and POET have entered into an agreement. They're adding all 17 of POET's plants in Iowa and South Dakota to their potential carbon pipeline. And I know that follows some of the calls, I believe, from Iowa ag and biofuels officials last week to have more widespread adoption of carbon capture after they saw all the attractiveness, so to speak, of SAF production on the table here. And I know you covered that story out on Monday as well, Todd.
Yeah, and you know, the thing that's interesting about this particular story, POET had a deal with Navigator, which was the carbon pipeline project that they basically canceled the project because of a lot of regulatory hurdles along the way. And so the Summit plant, which goes to about five states, they're still facing a lot of similar hurdles and getting, you know, permitting and that sort of thing. And so the POET basically had a very similar agreement with the previous plant, or excuse me, the previous company. And so they've apparently found some real common ground there on the Summit project. It's something that's kind of interesting because I don't think POET, you know, they don't tend to take these things lightly. It's probably well thought out. And so it perhaps indicates that Summit is maybe making some progress on getting, you know, the necessary permitting that they need for that project. But it's certainly, when you look at POET's plants, they own, I believe, 12 plants in Iowa and five in South Dakota. And so they basically put all those plants in South Dakota and Iowa on the list for Summit to connect to the pipeline to. And so I think that's probably definitely going to give that project a little bit of momentum. I think it, you know, it's something that's getting a lot of attention, obviously, with SAF. And so here we are. It's it certainly is a make or break moment for a lot of reasons.
We're talking with DTN's Todd Neely. Todd, another story I know you were covering recently that's tied in with ethanol here. Some refiners petitioning to make RINs changes. What exactly is going on here? I know that's been a kind of a back and forth issue in recent years, Todd.
Yeah, Jesse, you know, we've had, you know, over the years, there's been a lot of refining companies that have filed for and received exemptions to the RFS, and these are small refiners, which I believe it's 75,000 barrels a day or less of production. And so over the years, you know, we've seen the RINs market, which is a biofuels credit market that was established by the RFS. We've seen the prices of those RINs go up and down. And so, you know, refiners, small refineries in particular, they have a greater difficulty in meeting the demands of the RFS. And so we've seen repeated legal challenges from a lot of them. In fact, there's still a number of those ongoing as well. And so a couple of the refining companies had written a letter to Michael Regan, the EPA administrator, at the end of December, I believe it was. They're looking for the EPA to reform the RINs program. And it's a very complicated program, but they essentially have told the EPA that they feel like the agency has dropped the ball in how that program is supposed to be administered. And so we've seen these types of petition requests with the EPA on RINs before, and EPA has largely rejected any notion of reforming that credit program, although in the latest RFS proposal and final rule that we've talked a lot about, EPA did raise the specter of potentially taking a look at the RINs program at some point. So they've kind of always left the door open to do that. So here we are. We have yet another request to do some reforming.
Definitely. And Todd, we're about out of time. One other thing I wanted to ask you about just real quick. There's a story that you've been covering, the EPA packing plant runoff situation. Can you give us a couple of the quick highlights there?
Yeah, basically, you know, a lot of meatpacking plants are connected directly to navigable waters, you know, rivers and streams. And For a very long time, the EPA has been pressed to regulate these plants a little tighter when it comes to phosphorus and nitrogen, two of the pollutants that we talk a lot about when we look at pollution runoff into the Gulf of Mexico and all those things. And so EPA has another proposal out there now, 60-day public comment period, to do just that. We'll see where that goes.
Yeah, definitely an interesting situation to watch. Folks can learn more about these stories, DTNPF.com. Todd Neely with DTN, thanks for joining us on AOA today. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, thank you very much.
All right, coming up next, markets with Ted Seifert from Zahner Agg-Hedge here on AOA. Join us every Tuesday for Around the Table, brought to you by CHS, where we take a close look at the benefits of cooperative ownership. Every week, we'll host a new guest and discuss how you can get the most from working with your local cooperative. And we'll learn why farmers and ranchers just like you choose cooperatives to help them persevere and prosper. Tune in each Tuesday or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more. Heading to NCBA's Cattle Convention? On Friday, February 2nd, stop by USMEF booth 1807 with me, Jesse Allen. We'll be broadcasting AOA live with our friends from the National Corn Growers Association and the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Stop by from 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern to learn how these organizations work together to competitively position American product as the sustainable, high-quality, premier product of choice. And don't forget to join NCGA on Thursday at 2:30 for their Learning Lounge. We'll see you in Orlando.
Are you heading to NCBA in Orlando? On Thursday, February 1st, stop by Christian Hansen booth 1067 for some exciting live radio. Celebrity host Jesse Allen will be broadcasting AOA live from Christian Hansen booth 1067 from 10 to 11 a.m. Also on Friday at 11:30 in the Learning Lounge, Jesse Allen will be hosting Christian Hansen's discussion on how daily feeding of probiotics can improve the digestibility and utilization of the forages cattle are consuming. You won't want to miss the next Great Plains auction on January 31st. The online auction features an impressive lineup, including a 2016 Case IH Steiger 420 Quadro Track Tractor, a 2014 Brandt BCX 1050 Grain Cart, Grip Track Combine Tracks, a Massey Ferguson 2605, and a 1951 Harry Ferguson. Find these items and many more when you visit GreatPlainsAuction.com for the online-only auction. That's on Wednesday, January 31st.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA.
Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, right now, let's take a look at what is happening in the market trade as we are getting close to wrapping up the month of January. There is a lot to talk about here, a lot of headwinds early in the week here for the grain and oilseed markets, and we're going to discuss all that and more. Joining us for a conversation, Ted Seifert with Zahner Agg-Hedge is with us here on AOA today. Ted, good to talk with you again. Thanks for joining us, and Man, you know, a lot of various headwinds from things in China to geopolitical issues to a lot of economic data this week. We got managed money that is incredibly short in the grain markets right now. There's a lot going on, and most of it feels pretty bearish to these markets overall. Ted, do you agree?
Yeah, Jesse, first of all, thanks for having me on the show, man. I always love coming on and really doing anything with you, man. You're top notch. One of my favorite guys to have an interview with. And secondly, also thank you for the fantastic intro music. Everlong is one of my favorite all-time songs, so thank you.
I'll remember that next time, too.
Awesome. So that's the fun stuff. Now, to your point, the not-so-fun stuff. You know, we're having a little bit of a bounce today. Let's call it a turnaround Tuesday. Let's call it a alleviation of the rather oversold condition of the markets that we have right now. You know, some people would like to say that, you know, we've gone too far to the downside, and this might be the beginning of finding some footing and trying to find a bit more of a bounce. I'm not so sure about that, right? As you said, you know, the Chinese data is concerning. Their economy obviously is slowing down. We never really know how much to trust Chinese data. But for me, one of the main things that I always watch to get a gauge of their economy is their pork demand, which has been really rather soft. And to me, that says the average Chinese consumer is really tightening their belt. And that really makes me worried about the Chinese economy as a whole, because pork is one of the last things that they want to forego, right? The other thing about China, Jesse, is that you've seen this record import for corn so far this marketing year for them. And again, most of that's come from Brazil, their new corn trade partner, their new best buddy. Mm-hmm. A lot of it's come from the Ukraine, which they've never really skipped a beat to their exports to China. Ukraine historically has been one of China's biggest corn trading partners. In fact, I think they've had a deal in place for 10 years or so now to import at least 5 million metric tons from the Ukraine every year. And that's really kind of kept up through the conflict, which is somewhat amazing. But it is. I mean, that's what's happened. So it really hasn't benefited us as far as our corn exports. You can argue that there's some demand displacement. So like corn from Brazil that would have been going elsewhere is now going to China. Therefore, we're picking up a little bit of extra business for it. But it's not a one-for-one deal, right? I mean, we're not picking up an extra 10 million metric tons of business from that. So, yes, China's imported a record amount of corn so far this marketing year. It's not been beneficial in a great way to us. But the bigger question is why, right? And so their soybean imports have kind of slumped. They're really rather underbooked for March, April, May timeframe into June. And a lot of people are expecting them to really pick up those purchases soon. But I'm wondering if something that they've been talking about for 4 or 5 years now, which is changing their feed rations. You know, they've historically fed their hogs a really, really high proportion of soybean meal because they like that marbled, fatty cut of meat like we like with our steaks.
Yeah.
But with a struggling economy and consumers not wanting to pay as much for pork, well, one of the easiest ways to lower pork prices is to, well, thin out that feed ration and use a lot more corn. And again, the Chinese government has wanted to do this for a while. And I wonder if they're using this economic slowdown, this slower consumer demand, to get that change to happen. China has a history of using kind of unfortunate events to do their bidding to get things that they ultimately want in the long run. And I wonder if that's what's occurring. And if that's the case, that's a really bad thing for not only us, but for Brazil and the global soybean trade as a whole. Because if China can actually cut out some of their bean demand, a fair amount of their bean demand, and move into a period of time where we're watching Chinese bean demand decline for like the first time really ever in a significant amount, well, then that's going to be tough. Right? Because then we're going to have a lot of beans that we're not exactly sure where to go with. Yeah. So I don't like what's going on in China. From a bigger, broader perspective, you know, they're starting to approve GMO seeds to be planted in the ground, which historically has been a big no-no for China. Their ground is sacred. They don't like anything that is unnatural going into their ground. But I guess times change, Jesse. And if they're able to plant GMO seeds for corn and beans, they're going to up their yields by a super tremendous amount. I mean, we're talking doubling their bean yields, Jesse. So, you know, broader picture, longer term, there is a chance, and I'm not saying it's a certainty, but there's a chance and maybe a likelihood that China soybean demand might drop by 20 to 30%. And if that happens, you know, they're the largest importer of soybeans in the world by a long shot. Like on any given year, that's 100 million metric tons of soybeans. The number two importer of soybeans in the world is the EU as a whole, and that's 16 to 18 million metric tons. It's not even a fifth of what China brings in per year. So there's no way to replace that demand if China sheds it or is able to make these changes. So that's not a big, bright, rosy picture. Now, that's not the here and now necessarily. The lack of soybean sales is, but
point, the here and now, and I'm glad you kind of brought that up, because the here and now, you know, we look here, especially with the South American harvest ongoing, and then they're getting ready to plant some Frida corn, but also we look at the U.S., and there's a lot of talk about that acreage battle already starting to heat up here in the U.S., and I know there's some folks concerned that if there's not some sort of significant shift in the U.S., you know, we could maybe be thinking about some threes on the corn side. And I'm talking that carry out, maybe getting up there, and then prices maybe getting to threes. I've heard a little bit of that chatter. I don't know if that's a concern to you, Ted, but I guess overall the here and now is, you know, looking at South America and then the U.S. acreage battle for this year.
Yeah, Jesse, I've been talking about the potential for a three in front of corn since we had a six in front of corn, as you know. It is absolutely a concern for me, Jesse. And it ties into what we were just talking about with the soybeans. I mean, if soybean demand is slumping in China and we're not going to get, you know, the big exports there right now, you've got a 2.5 corn bean ratio, which should favor soybean acreage. But that could change here over the course of the next month or so. That could change some ideas. And let's face it, Jesse, we like to plant corn. And in December 24, corn at 477, almost 480. Well, you know, yeah, it's not the price that we've been enjoying for the last few years, but it's still a pretty darn good price. I think for most guys, the math still pencils for corn. I don't see a big drop in corn acreage. And if that's put together with a drop in soybean demand, and you've got big carryovers, big balance sheets in both of them, well, yeah, we're headed into a cycle of low prices again after coming out of the cycle of an extended period of time of high prices. This is how these things work, and that's why this is a big concern. I really think the only thing that can derail us from headed toward the numbers that you just mentioned is going to be a major growing season, a major supply-side issue. And we just saw last year during our growing season, we had one of the toughest growing seasons that we've had since 2012, and we still ended up with a 177.3 national average yield in corn. Oh, boy. You know, what does that mean? You can argue that rains were just perfectly timely, and that's how we got there. And if there had been a week off or something like that, it could have been a disaster. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But that's really concerning from a supply side situation, that we can have a growing season like we did last year and still end up with a monster national average yield. The difference, though, is South America, right? If that's second season corn, Safrina corn has trouble. They have different soils there, Jesse. We saw in Argentina last year, South American corn can still really get hurt. So if there's a problem with the second season Safrina corn crop, that would delay this shift to the other side of the pendulum, right? And that would be good. And the longer we can delay that, the longer we kind of cut short the next cycle. So that would be great. But I don't think none of us can bank our marketing strategy on a problem in that second season Safrinha corn crop. A lot of times, you know, weather patterns have this tendency to change like halfway through a season. And if that's the case, that could mean some really good weather for corn. It's possible, Jesse, and it'd be great to see it happen. But I don't think you can expect it. I think you do have to be pretty vigilant and pretty aggressive with your marketing here because the charts look really not great. So, yeah, do that. And then also, you know, you can re-own if you want.
Yeah. A lot of things to consider. Plenty of bearishness in the markets. Got to be smart about it. Ted Seifert, Zahner Ag Hedge, Always good to have a conversation with you, buddy. Thanks for joining us on AOA today. We appreciate it.
My pleasure, Jesse. Always, always a great time.
All right, coming up next, we talk a little bit about pork with Ted. We're going to talk swine health with Dr. Megan Niederwerder from Schick on the way next here on AOA.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-844-903-1744. 1-844-903-1744. That's 1-844-903-1744. Attorney Advertising. William Stepacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Grant, Pennsylvania. May not be available.
Hey, Wisconsin soybean farmers, do you know how your soybean checkoff helps fuel Wisconsin? Soybeans play a critical role in helping our communities, our economy, our environment, our future, our farms, and our world. Stop by the Wisconsin Soybean Booth at this year's Corn Soybean Expo, February 1st and 2nd at the Kalahari in Wisconsin Dells to learn how your Wisconsin soybean farmers and soybean checkoff are working hard to increase your impact from the farm to the future.
Milk markets were mostly lower with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. February milk down 23 to 16.23. March down 16 to 16.90. April down 9 to 17.30. May milk up 11 at 17.73. Live cattle markets and feeder cattle markets were mostly higher. Feeders were the leaders in the cattle markets once again. Hog markets also moving up mostly higher as well, as there was continued feeder cattle demand in the sales barns as the feeder cattle index closed 209 higher. That continues to help support the markets. Also, Wednesday's cattle inventory report, a lot of positioning ahead of that. Meanwhile, the hog markets mostly higher as well, as demand continues to be watched in the hog markets, and there's still continued expectations of strength for hogs. February live cattle up 65 cents to 178.02. March feeder cattle up 270 to 241.32. February hogs up 57 cents to 75.85. Chicago Board of Trade soybeans leading the entire grain complex higher, as dry weather in Argentina continues to help support the markets. And also that dry weather helping to support the corn markets as well. Wheat markets also moving mostly higher on the weakness in the dollar and also the strength in the rest of the grain complex. March corn up 7.5 to 447.75. New crop beans up 17. Join Security Financial Bank for the 4th Annual Chippewa Valley Agriculture Conference, February 22nd at Florian Gardens in Eau Claire. Come gather strategies developed specifically for local agriculture producers, from knowing your numbers to application drones. The Chippewa Valley Agriculture Conference has something for everyone. Call 715-672-2412 or visit sfbank.com for more information. SFB, an equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Looking to upgrade the home appliances? Alcivia Co-op Heating and Cooling features gas and electric ranges, refrigerators, freezers, washers, and dryers from General Electric and Speed Queen. If you need an appliance repair, Alcivia Co-op Heating and Cooling can service all major appliances. Call Alcivia Co-op and ask for Jody Feedy. She'll help you with all of your home appliance needs. Alcivia Co-op, your GE and Speed Queen appliance dealer, Durand.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Joining us now on the program, we want to talk about the swine industry and get some updates on emerging diseases and research and much more. She is the executive director of the Swine Health Information Center. Dr. Megan Niederwer is with us here today on the program. And Megan, it's great to catch up with you again. And congratulations on taking over the executive director role at SCHIC. Really awesome to see, and we appreciate the time today. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Jesse. Thanks for having me, and thanks for the congratulations. It's great to connect with you.
Well, let's start with the 2024 plan of work. The Swine Health Information Center has released that here just in the last few weeks. And can you give us just an overview of that plan of work and some of the highlights for 2024?
Yes, absolutely. We're really excited about some of the work that we have planned in 2024, really continuing to focus on our mission of mitigating the risk of emerging disease threats to the U.S. swine industry. So certainly there are different aspects of that that we try and address through the Swine Health Information Center and our mission. And really it's focused on five main strategic priorities or strategic areas. One of those is improving swine health information. So looking at how do we provide more data and more knowledge about the endemic disease risks, how PERS is changing, what's the prevalence of PEDV in different age groups, how can we provide more information on Seneca virus A and how that is occurring in the sow farms. So thinking about providing our producers with more timely information as it becomes available, and of course trying to increase the value of that information. The other strategic pillars that we've really focused on for 2024 is thinking about monitoring and mitigating those risks to swine health. That includes our global disease monitoring report, responding to emerging diseases, surveillance and discovery of emerging diseases, and then looking at our swine disease matrices to really prioritize the risks to the U.S. herd.
Well, I know that with the plan of work, this is something that is an annual thing that SCHIC puts together. You guys have this plan of work that you've been doing now for quite a few years that, to your point, really kind of helps guide our research and guide the work that you guys do at SCHIC here for the swine industry throughout the entire year. Right, Megan?
Yeah, we really want to keep an eye and eyes and ears open for what's going on both in the U.S. and globally for risks, emerging disease risks to swine. And so really, when we boil down what SCHIC tries to do, we're really trying to monitor those risks, identify the risks, and then take the resources through the checkoff that we've received and target research investments that will help us prevent and prepare and respond to those emerging disease threats. And really throughout our whole mission and our activities, we really want to try and have timely communication to producers so that that information that we're able to generate gets back out into the industry and can help, again, prevent and prepare for any of those disease threats.
I know you guys also, with the release of the 2024 plan of work, you had a 2023 progress report as well that kind of gets tied in with all this, looking at the past year and the work you guys have done. So recap 2023 for us just a little bit, Megan. What were some of the highlights and some of the work that SCHIC got completed last year?
Yeah, one of our big programs was the Wean to Harvest Biosecurity Research Program. We funded 16 projects in 2023 through that program. And one of the advantages to the program is that we were able to leverage our funds with the Foundation for Food and Agriculture Research and the Pork Checkoff. And so we were really able to utilize that leveraging of funds to resource and to award more projects. And when we look at the diversity of the projects, there's really some exciting work that's going to be coming out in 2024 due to those projects being funded in 2023, such as identifying ways in which we can enhance biosecurity during manure pumping, thinking about the ways in which we utilize manure pumping, but ways that we can do that in a more biosecure manner to reduce the likelihood of disease transmission. We're also looking at areas, for instance, in farm entry. So can we look at novel ways to have a biosecure entry system that maybe doesn't use water? So maybe it's not a traditional shower, but it's something like an air shower where there could be a high volume of air that reduces, again, the likelihood of any disease entry into the farm.
Well, we are talking with Dr. Megan Niederwerter, Executive Director for the Swine Health Information Center, here today on the program. And Megan, looking ahead here to 2024 as well, more, I know you guys are looking for various research proposals to kind of add into your plans here for this year. And I know, I believe a deadline of March 1st you guys have out there for submissions for proposals. Talk about that a little bit.
Yes, for the 2024 plan of work, we just released a request for proposal. So we really want to increase the network of researchers that are doing work on emerging swine diseases, and certainly look at how we can initiate projects for the 2024 plan of work early in the year. So we really want to look at the value projects that we have put into the RFP, have those due by March 1st, and then get those started really as quickly as possible in the beginning of the year. There's a few new research areas that have been a part of this RFP. One is looking at coal sow biosecurity and secondary market biosecurity. We know that's a gap for our industry. How can we look at more biosecure manner in the movement of those that pig population, but also looking at what would be the best ways to have disease surveillance to reduce transmission risks? We're also looking at novel areas in biosecurity, such as how can we renovate or refurbish barns and sites to have a more biosecure entry system? So thinking about how do we take out the personnel part of it and have more engineered biosecurity as part of really a site facility design and construction. So certainly there are some exciting areas of research on this request for proposal. And we are excited to see how many proposals we get, again, to award the highest value projects that can provide that information to the industry.
If folks want to share proposals or submit proposals, I should say, what's the best way they could do that? I would have to think swinehealth.org is a good place to start, right?
Yes, exactly. So we have all of our current calls for research under on swinehealth.org, and then you can look at research and call for research. We currently have the RFP for our 2024 plan of work. We also continue to accept proposals for the Wean to Harvest Biosecurity Research Program. So anyone who's interested in developing a proposal and submitting that for consideration of funding through the Swine Health Information Center, our website would be the best place to go.
All right. Megan, before we let you go here, let's get an update on just swine diseases and emerging diseases around the world. African swine fever, of course, top of mind for many folks. We haven't seen it in the U.S. We hope it stays that way. But give us an update on where things stand in terms of ASF spread or in other parts of the world.
Yes, we continue to monitor ASF as one of the high priority diseases for the swine industry. So where is it occurring? It continues to be introduced into new countries in the EU, primarily through wild boar is where they're having that exposure. We're also monitoring what's going on in Asia. China just recently reported a new ASF strain that was a recombinant of the type 1 and type 2, which means those two virus strains came together to create a new virus. That has also been just recently reported in Taiwan. So we continue to monitor how the virus is changing in different areas of the world, and also looking at how does that change the risk to the U.S. So as the virus changes, whether it be by geographic location or by the type of virus it is, we want to understand, does that change enhance or decrease the risk of introduction to the U.S., whether that be through airport, seaport, entry at the borders, or through high-risk travelers. So certainly that's a continued priority of the Swine Health Information Center to monitor.
About things like PRRS or PED, other various diseases like those, I know PRRS has been an issue here in the U.S. Any notes on that or other diseases we're watching right now?
Yes, we continue to watch PRRS, understand what the strains that are occurring in the industry, how those are changing, One of the things that we have recently reported on our swine disease monitoring system is that we had the fourth month consecutive of increase of PRRS prevalence in the wean to finish age group. We certainly want to keep an eye on the wean to finish age group for PRRS prevalence, because what we've seen throughout the data that's been generated is that as that disease prevalence goes up in wean to finish, we see that as an increased risk factor for also the sow and breeding farm, and that there's a spillover risk when PRRS gets to a certain degree in wean to finish and the risk for sow farms. So that's another area in our RFP looking at what are the risk factors for spillover, what are the links between those sites and those farms, and how can we cut those off so that, again, we can reduce the risk for spillover to the whole industry. We also continue to monitor Japanese encephalitis virus. What's the risk for U.S. entry? Certainly looking at the Australian experience and how they were able to mitigate that disease after their outbreak in 2022. And also continue to monitor PEDV. Certainly we want to look at what's the feasibility of the U.S. industry for eradication of PEDV. Is that something we can work towards, including our domestic monitoring?
Well, I know folks can learn more online, swinehealth.org, and we appreciate the time with that. Dr. Megan Niederwerder, Executive Director with the Swine Health Information Center. Megan, thanks for joining us on the program. We'll look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Thanks so much, Jesse.
And once again, learn more about Schick online at swinehealth.org. All right, coming up next, we'll wrap up AOA. Take a look at news headlines on the way right after this.
It seems like everywhere you look right now, someone is sick. This year, prepare your family for airborne invaders with Navage Nasal Care. Navage sucks out viruses, dust, and other airborne particles, all the stuff that gets trapped in your nose, making you miserable. Even better, Navage is HSA FSA eligible. Navage is available online at Navage.com or Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, and Rite Aid. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life.
The impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because feeling full can sound like this.
How did the interview go?
I did it! I got the job! I can't believe it!
And like this.
Mom, I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project.
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations.
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hi, my name is Alani. A little thing I like about the spicy deluxe sandwich is that you taste the crunch, you taste the pepper jack cheese melting, and you taste the spicy flavors in the sandwich. I'm telling you, 10 out of 10.
Hi, my name's Enrique. A little thing I love about Chick-fil-A's spicy deluxe sandwich is you get that rich flavor of the chicken and definitely that nice, tangy, warm bite. It's the perfect harmony of spiciness and taste.
Order the spicy deluxe sandwich on the Chick-fil-A app today. Real guests paid for their testimonials.
This is Around the Table, where we explore the benefits of cooperative ownership. Today, Justin Fries, a soybean trading expert with CHS, will provide a 2024 soybean demand outlook. Justin, U.S. soybean stocks have remained steady for several years while world stocks have increased. Do you anticipate that this trend will continue?
Yes, I anticipate this trend to continue. So what we're dealing with in the soybean market here right now is massive and growing stocks here in the world. So when you look at like South America and you look at Argentina and Brazil together, they are set to harvest a crop here nearly 1 billion bushels more than 1 year ago. Argentina is coming off a historic drought. Their crop is expected to be about twice the size of last year. And Brazil will be harvesting a crop that's nearly a record. So when you combine those two, that billion bushels is just simply outpacing the demand in the world.
Well, Brazil's share of global soybean exports is widening over the U.S. What does this mean for U.S. farmers?
just increased competition from Brazil, which has led to a decline in exports out of the U.S. over the course of the past 4 years. But here, the exciting piece and what that means for farmers is in the U.S., our U.S. processors are really expanding our crushing plants here in the United States, and we are growing to meet a surging renewable diesel demand here in the United States. So over the course of the next few years here, what we're losing in the export channel, we should be gaining that demand here home in the U.S.
What should growers be watching as they make their soybean marketing plans for 2024?
So South America is set to harvest their crop here. Brazil is just starting, and that is going to pick up here big time. So what the market is trying to really determine here is how big is that crop? There were some key states in Brazil that were dealing with some drier temps early in their growing season. And now over the course of the past 30 days here, those regions did give moisture. And we have seen the futures market and the price drop drastically from that.
Again, that's Justin Fries from CHS joining us on Around the Table. Learn more about the benefits of cooperative ownership at cooperativeownership.com.
Are you heading to NCBA in Orlando? On Thursday, February 1st, stop by Christian Hansen booth 1067 for some exciting live radio. Celebrity host Jesse Allen will be broadcasting AOA live from Christian Hansen booth 1067 from 10 to 11 a.m. Also on Friday at 11:30 in the Learning Lounge, Jesse Allen will be hosting Christian Hansen's discussion on how daily feeding of probiotics can improve the digestibility and utilization of the forages cattle are consuming.
Heading to NCBA's Cattle Convention on Friday, February 2nd, stop by USMEF booth 1807 with me, Jesse Allen. We'll be broadcasting AOA live with our friends from the National Corn Growers Association and the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Stop by from 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern to learn how these organizations work together to competitively position American product as the sustainable, high-quality, premier product of choice. And don't forget to join NCGA on Thursday at 2:30 for their Learning Lounge. We'll see you in Orlando.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Baby, what do you say? We just get lost.
And welcome back to AOA here today. Let's take a look at news headlines before we wrap it up on today's program. And we're watching continued problems overseas in Europe when it comes to farmers and government. French farmers in focus after blocking highways around Paris with their tractors as part of nationwide protests demanding better pay and living conditions. Farmers in France, the European Union's biggest agricultural producer, has complained of unfair competition from rivals in more lightly regulated countries. And over the last week, they have set up roadblocks on motorways to highlight their cause. They have also damaged property, including local government offices. Now, in parts of southwest Paris, Reuters footage showed tractors blocking the A10 highway both to and from the capital, with traffic diverted to smaller roads. Now, the French government dropped plans to gradually reduce state subsidies on agricultural diesel, but that has not satisfied the protesting farmers. After 2 weeks of protests that have spread across France, Prime Minister Gabriel Attal announced a series of measures to ease financial administrative pressure on farmers. He said a plan to phase out state support on diesel would be scrapped, red tape